welcome here on Patchwork Heart Radio, radio for the Catholic Heart. I'm your host, Bill Snyder, and on today's podcast episode of Young Catholics Respond, we are going to talk about the Incarnation. The Incarnation is simply the Christ's coming in the flesh to man. And why do we call it the Incarnation and focus on those, on that language? Well, because Christ really was not born. I would like to highlight this by picking out a very nice scripture passage from Philippians. And St. Paul's letter to the Philippians truly highlights this notion of incarnation and why Christ became incarnate. Listen to this. It begins in the second chapter of Philippians. And it starts with verse 5. It says, "Have among yourselves the same attitude that is also yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found in human appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You know, what a beautiful passage that is. It's, in fact, it's one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. Why? Because it truly does highlight the beauty of Christ's coming and why he came. You know, I think at Christmas time, we get wrapped up in and forget why Christ came. Christ came to die. And him coming in the flesh was a complete emptying of himself. You see, that's what I love about this passage. Who, though he was in the form of God, Christ didn't have to come. He did not have to enter into humanity, but he loved us so much that he did. He loved us so much that he was the perfect, obedient son to the Father and said, "Yes, I will go save my people. I will go do it. Because I love them. Because I love them." The language in this letter that's talking about the incarnation of Christ from St. Paul says it plainly and clearly. It's in black and white. "Rather, he emptied himself, poured himself out, taking the form of a slave." He gave everything up, all the status, all of the perks of being God, all of the perks of being God, he gave up. He said, "I don't want those. It's more important that I save my people. It's more important that I humble myself and save my people because I love them." Even if that meant obedience unto the point of death. Obedience to the point of death on a cross. And then what happens? "Because of this, God has greatly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend." And that is what happens here during our Christmas celebrations. Every knee bends at the name of Jesus. At our masses on Christmas, every knee bends when Christ enters on the altar. You see, this is not just a game we play. This is really Christ becoming incarnate in the flesh again on our altars. No, he doesn't take bodily form as our bodies, but he becomes in the form of bread and wine on our altars. And how incredibly beautiful is that? One of the most beautiful things is to see Christ enter our altars and our lives and our hearts. I'll never forget a homily a long time ago, listening to a priest, I forget exactly who it was, but he said something very wise. He said, the nation of Christ is a lot like the holy sacrifice of the Mass. In fact, it was so earth-shattering to the Jews when he came as a little baby, and the Romans when he came as a little baby, that why can't God come under the form of bread and wine? It's such a humbling experience. Christ made himself vulnerable to human suffering and growing up and learning. He completely entered into the entire human experience. That is what we love about our God, is that he is human. 100% human. Yes, he is 100% divine, but he is 100% human. How incredible is that? How awesome is that? To realize and to know and to come to understand that our God went through everything that we went through except for sin. He conquered death because of it. He conquered death because of it, and he is honored above all. As young people in the church today, this is what we need to come to understand, that our God is with us. Emmanuel, he is with us in our sufferings. He is with us in our trials. He is with us in our joys. He is with us. And as we celebrate this beautiful coming of Christ, and we rejoice with the angels and the saints and the shepherds and our bishops and our Pope this year, in our families, let us remember that Christ must be at the center of our lives. At the center of the Eucharist, our Eucharistic feasts, he's there, present, body, blood, soul, divinity. And if we can translate that, if we can translate the experience that we have with Jesus at Mass into our lives, and we carry him out into the world is transformed. Our families are transformed. Our societies are transformed into the body of Christ. You know, perhaps one of my second favorite passages in the Bible, if that Philippians truly, I think it comes down to that Philippians passage being my favorite passage in the whole Bible. It just is so well constructed, and it's almost like a little creed in there. But if I had to pick a second favorite passage in the Bible, I think it would be the Canticle of Zechariah. And you have to understand where this is coming from. Zechariah is the father of John the Baptist. Okay? And when John the Baptist was in St. Elizabeth's womb, Zechariah had doubted God that Elizabeth could have a child, and therefore God told him, an angel came to him and said, you will not be able to speak until your son is born. And And so this is where the important thing comes in. The first words that Zechariah speaks after his son's birth, after the birth of John the Baptist, are these words. He is recognizing that something great is going to happen. Something incredible is going to happen in the universe. Listen to what he says. Then Zechariah, his father, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and brought redemption to his people. He has raised up a horn for our salvation within the house of his servant David, even as he had promised through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, to be mindful of his holy covenant and the oath he swore to Abraham our father, and to grant that, rescued from the hand of the enemies, without fear we might worship him in holiness and in righteousness all the days of our lives. And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the daybreak from on high will visit us, to shine on those who sit in darkness and death's shadow, to guide our feet into the path of peace." You see, this passage, by the way, can be found in Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 79. And this passage highlights our role in salvation toward the end. But it paints a beautiful picture of what God is doing in the world through the incarnation of Christ, through the coming incarnation of Christ, because John realizes that the angel's words, or Zechariah realizes that the angel's words about his son are true, that he is going to announce the Savior, that the Savior is going to enter into the world, and John is going to be at the forefront of the wave of grace coming onto the shores and the bank of the Jordan River. He understands that. He now realizes that as a father, hey, my son is going to play an incredible role in the salvation of everything, the salvation of all people. And that is the gift that we get to have and we get to share in. I love this prayer. It's also used in the Liturgy of the Hours every single morning. At morning prayer, this is the canticle that is read after the gospel or after the reading as part of morning prayer every day. What a beautiful way to start the day, to realize that God has come to redeem his people. He has entered into humanity to save us from our sins and free us from our enemies and the hands of all who hate us. And then to hear the words of the Father spoken to the child. "And you will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." You see, that little passage there, that little quote, packs in our entire mission as Christians. We are to be the John the Baptists. We are to go forward with Christ's mission. We are called to go out. We are called to go out and proclaim and forgive others and share the message of the gospel with the entire world. Boldly. You know, we can foreshadow to, we can take the passage and foreshadow to the amazing witness that John the Baptist was as an adult and understand and know that John the Baptist was a powerful, powerful, powerful voice, probably the most powerful voice for Christ. To prepare the way. That is what we're called to do, to prepare the way. That's what Christmas is all about. To announce that Christ has come in our lives. And the last little bit of that passage sums it up beautifully. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the daybreak from on high will visit us to shine on those who sit in darkness and death's shadow, to guide our feet into the paths of peace, hits it right on the head. We can do none of it without the mercy of God. While we are called to be the witnesses, know that it's not our own light that is going to save souls. It is not our own merit that is going to get us into heaven. It is because of Christ's sacrifice, because of the mercy of God, that God will visit us like the daybreak and shine on those who are in death's shadow and darkness, and take them from the world of anguish and sin, and lead them and guide our feet onto the path of peace, so we make straight the way. We make straight the way this Christmas season. And we rejoice because we know that that daybreak is here. We know that that daybreak is here. And again, of course, all of this leads my mind into the second coming of Christ. And so I think the next podcast that we do here on Patchwork Art Radio will have to be about the second coming of Christ, because we've sort of alluded to it these past two podcasts. If you did not check out the podcast on joy versus happiness, I suggest that you do that. Also, there's a great article that I wrote on thepapist.org, on joy versus happiness. A lot of what's in the podcast is also in the article, but check that out as well. The writing is a little different flavor than me talking to you. And check out all the awesome and other amazing writings up on the Papist, all the other blogs on the Papist. We got really some great writers, some great young Catholic witnesses, being John the Baptist out there in the world today proclaiming the gospel on that website. So check that out. Of course, we want you to check out our website, which is www.patchworkheart.org, patchworkheart.org. Check that out. Also, don't forget to download our podcasts. Of course, you're listening to it now, but don't forget that the download button, so you can, or the subscribe button, I should say, so you can continue to get these great podcasts. We hope they're great. I don't know how great they are, but we hope that they're great for you. We hope you're learning a little bit. And then stay tuned in to Patchwork Art Radio on a regular basis as well. We put up new talks and new podcasts all the time on Patchwork Heart Radio, and that's very easy to get to as well. It is myradiostream.com/radio for the heart. And that's all that I have for you today here on this Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2013. But until next time, we ask you to continue beating to your Catholic hearts. Thank you so much.